Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Not for the first time, the dominant sentiment on the tax line, 51551, is against lifting restrictions. Davy says, that man is right, it is time for freedom of choice. Just because something is open doesn't mean that you have to go into it. Cliona says the GP intervention, that's Peter Sloan, is not very helpful. The world chose to eradicate polio and measles. If society opens up fully, everyone will face even more risk as soon as they walk out the door. It will lead to our elderly and vulnerable being unable to leave their houses. Long COVID is a new illness for many young people in Ireland too. We all have to wear seat belts when we drive our cars. We don't allow people to decide whether it is safe or not. 5155 one on that or anything else, and I suspect that our next topic is definitely going to get a couple of you exercised. Yesterday's All-Ireland win for Limerick was nothing if not emphatic. They racked up huge 3 goals and 32 points against Cork. Talk has already turned to how good they are compared to previous great teams from other counties and, of course, compared to Limerick teams down the decades. So to assess the performance, I'm joined by Professor Paul Rouse of the UCD School of History and author of The Hurlers, and by Pat Fleury, former All-Ireland winning captain and former manager of Offaly. Gentlemen, good morning to both of you. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. What we're going to do now in the next 10 minutes is assess, is this team on the cusp of being the greatest hurling team ever, or have they achieved that already? Paul, what do you think?
Well, I wouldn't say they've achieved it already. Yesterday's performance was outstanding. You cannot say other than it was brilliant. But you must put this in the context of 130 years of All-Ireland Hurling Championships. So the first thing is to look at, are they the greatest team produced by their own county? Now, Limerick produced a series of really good hurling teams and then an outstanding team itself in the 1930s. 5 National Leagues, 4 Munster Championships and 3 All-Irelands. Most of all, that team came through at the time of the rise of radio and the spread of cinema. There were films showing of them in America and across Irish and British cinemas. So they had a glamour and a stardust, which was outstanding, epitomised by Mick Mackey. But the achievement of this team by putting back-to-back All-Irelands, which the previous Limerick team didn't do, pushes them, I think, ahead of that. So then you're left with the rest of the counties outside what we would consider the traditional big three counties of Cork, Kilkenny and Tipperary, and they have already, I think, pushed beyond any of the teams produced by the smaller, weaker counties. And so there you're left for a comparison with the great teams produced by Cork, Kilkenny and Tipperary over the years. Now, the most recent brilliant team is Kilkenny, 4 in a row winners and winning several All-Irelands either side of that. Multiple All-Irelands, and I think that they are the benchmark that this Limerick team, I would say on performance, they matched them yesterday. The question is, will they go on and do the numbers in terms of All-Ireland wins? Will they have the longevity which that team displayed?
Pat, is it a bit of a nonsense comparing any modern day team to teams of 30, 40, 50 years ago? Because not just in GAA, but any sport, any discipline, these teams nowadays just are not matched or are no match for anybody that came before them in terms of fitness, in terms of skill, flexibility, professionalism and so on. It's a different game to 50 years ago.
It certainly is, but we still have to give huge credit to the teams of those times, because all they could ever do was beat, as we say, what was put in front of them. And that great Limerick team of the 30s did that, and the great teams like Tipperary had in the 60s and Kilkenny had in the 70s and so on, they did that too. And as you say, and rightly say, the levels of preparation have gone through the roof in recent years. And it's really no longer a pastime in many ways. It's a complete and total lifestyle, and you either buy into it or you don't right now. And if you don't, you don't have any real place on a top-class sporting panel of any sport in any grade. But these guys are remarkable, and they're the product of a wonderful underage structure that was established some years ago when, in particular, I'd give a lot of credit to Joe McKenna, who spearheaded the whole operation in Limerick. He saw that they'd fallen behind, and he put together a particularly good group of people to look after underage players in a proper way. And incidentally, we'd love to send our best wishes to Joe, who's had a few health problems lately, and he's on the mend, and hopefully will continue to do so. But they're remarkable. The levels of athleticism and the levels of strength and fitness that have been associated with teams in recent years keeps on increasing. Limerick team has brought it to a new level again, because people tended to obsess on their physicality, but yesterday the skills and the genius and the gift and the craft and the intelligence that they showed was remarkable.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, people do obsess about it. I mean, their height in particular and how impressive each of these people are as individuals. But was the most impressive thing about them not the way that they played as a team? And I wonder, to what extent do you think that the academy system is responsible for that?
The basis of any successful academy is to establish a pattern of play, or to try to establish a pattern of play, and you keep that consistently right through all the teams from under 14 up along, so that as they move through the various panels, it's fairly similar tactics that they're using and a similar level of preparation. So they just graduate from one level to another, and if they're good enough, then they will make a step upwards. And these guys have obviously made that step upwards very, very comfortably indeed. And the great thing about it is that they have very good people behind them. They have a wonderful management team, and John is a very, very astute and very good manager, and great credit is always given to Caroline Currit here and Paul Kinnerk.
Caroline's a sports psychologist.
Absolutely. And there was a time when, you know, people would have guffawed at the presence of a sports psychologist in a GA dressing room. And fellas, there are many stories of senior intercounty panels yawning and falling asleep when some well-meaning sports psychologist or dietitian tried to give them the benefit of their wisdom. But that's all changed. And these guys are now a product of the new modern system of training. And they are a seriously impressive-looking group. And when you most important thing is they've all bought into it. They believe in it, and they know it works for them.
Paul, in the modern era, Kilkenny, Brian Cody's Kilkenny is obviously the benchmark, or the team to beat if you want to attain that status of greatest ever. And I think it was when I saw Henry Shefflin expressing his amazement at the Limerick semi-final performance against Tipperary that he was almost not able to articulate how impressed he was, that I realised how truly great this team must be.
Yeah, that performance against Tipperary in the second half in the Munster Championship was absolutely outstanding. They looked in an awful lot of trouble at half time, and I think this is the thing about this Limerick team. They did things in that second half which were a mixture of pace and power and unreal skill, and they blew Tipperary away. And if you look at it, they can play you any way you want to play them. So Waterford were really physical in the first half of the All-Ireland semi-final against them, and Limerick just matched the physicality and then blew them away with hurling after the first water break. And yesterday, Cork tried to run around Limerick, and Limerick had the pace to match up and the organisation, the discipline and the control of the ball to make sure that that didn't happen. So they can play you anyway. Now, you asked the question at the beginning about whether what would happen, are they on the cusp of greatness? I would say that their ranking in terms of all-time hurling teams will be defined by what happens next, not by what happened yesterday. And all the signs are that this is a team that is set fair to go further. All the noises coming out of the camp are that they will push on, that they don't see themselves as having peaked yesterday, that they look for more. And that's really worrying for their main competitors, because Cork are a really good team, but they were a mile off it yesterday.
And Pat, they have youth on their side.
They certainly have. The average age of the team was 25. That tells you a lot. Some of them are younger, some of them are a little bit older, but they're all in tremendous shape. And they realise, and you look at it, just 13 scorers, 328 from play, and 316 from play in the first half. So that was a mesmerising performance. And the only thing you could compare it to is the fact that they were 13 points up, I think it was, at half-time. Kilkenny in 2008 against Waterford, when they produced one of their, if not their greatest ever performance, were 17 points up at half-time. So they'll use those little things as, you know, as kind of something else to inspire their next great performance. But for now, they look fairly untouchable. And but for a but for a kind of a bad call in the semi-final against Kilkenny back in 19 on a 65 that they should have got, they could very easily have been celebrating a 4 in a row yesterday. And that's fairly frightening, you know, when you think, when you look into the future.
Pat Fleury and Paul Rouse, thank you both very much. So, still on the cusp of greatness, not having quite yet achieved it, but this team will be around for a while yet.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.